Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. And we also have a special announcement we're going to announce that's coming from the conference call. But it gives me great privilege, brothers and sisters, and surely I'm very honored to be able to come to you and knowing that one has a very, very hectic schedule. And that schedule allows you sometimes not able to do the things you would love to do. Nevertheless, you have to do it. I was talking to a brother, Delmel Kareem, and he's one of the oldest that we have. Kareem Hassan from California, he is older than he is. He's the oldest imam that we do have under the leadership of the Imam Waruddin Muhammad. But he is not old in continuity. He doesn't have the years of continuity being with Imam Waruddin Muhammad. So he got him in that sense of the word because he came in 1956. But the Imam and Delmel Kareem was born in the religion. Their parents were, of course, was under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So that makes Delmel the oldest as far as continuity is concerned. That's the difference. But he said to me that his children tries to stop him from traveling. They think he should take it easy. He said, I can't take it easy. I have work to do. And on the 18th of September in Paterson, New Jersey, he is going to be there speaking. Yes, he will do Jummah. And it's a treat. It's a treat because the way the brother Hakeem, Bilal Hakeem, decided to bring it about, he said, let's support him. And he asked for $100 from every masjid, which that's like maybe $3 for each member of the masjid. But you don't have to go to the Ummah for them. Men and women have been giving donations for years, and that money sits in the bank account because I don't see anything that they purchase to spend the money. Some have $1 million plus, and some have $100,000 plus. So what is $100? To bring the closest one that we have today with Imam Waruddin Muhammad. And I have a lot of respect for him. I say to him all the time when I consult with him that I feel like our leader is still here because Donnell talked to him like him. What I mean in the language that we all are able to understand, that when you hear the language, you know you at home. Surely he has the language. And so he asked every masjid to send $100. So we not only allow him to come, but he's able to get some type of appreciation. We think that people should get up and just come places, and we don't give them anything, brothers and sisters, and it's a shame. It's a disgrace. But I believe it's because no one is advocating that. No one's trying to instill that in the heart of the human being. Yes, I'm talking about the brothers that are sitting on the roof. They don't speak about how we should help each other. And collectively, I thought it was a good idea that Bilal thought about going to the imams for $100. Well, we got at least 40 masjids just here in New Jersey, on the leadership of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. So you do the math. but allows him to not only do that, but to support the Muslim Journal. And we support the Muslim Journal because when you buy that back page, you're talking about $1,000 on up. Well, yes. Why would you want to do anything that is sensational and unbelievable and not able to be able to send it around the country? Because if we send it around the country, then California knows he's here. Arizona will know he's here. Chicago will know he's here. California is a big state. A lot of Islamic brothers, especially under Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, will know he's here. New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania. We wouldn't know where he's at unless what? We pick up the paper. The Muslim Journal does travel in these very different states. The only communication we have, brothers and sisters, oh, I gave a great affair in New York. Who knew about it? New York. I gave a great affair in New Jersey. Who knew about New Jersey? And so forth and so on. So some reason we're not comprehending. Now, we're not just speaking to the group of people that's sitting in front of us. Well, I know how many people that comes on free conference call. Because why? They sent it to me. But when you speak to Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Exit Enterprise, Raj Speaks, they call you from all around the world. 7 years of continuity. And because of that, I really don't have to send anything out. But you don't understand the minds of the human being. They'll forget that you was on. Oh, that's right, he's on Tuesday. So you send it out 5 minutes before it comes on because it will hit them. No, let's send it early so they'll understand that we're on at 7. No. Why do you think when they give commercials, the only seconds they have is 60 seconds or 30? And most people get that 30 quicker than they get that minute. Now, some people will just sit there and love commercials. Some people getting up, going to the bathroom, do whatever they want, and you better be back in 30 seconds. That's their attention span. It is known that they pay billions of dollars to the Super Bowl for just 60 seconds. No more, because nobody's going to listen to it. But if you plant that seed in the minds of those billions of people that's watching, whoa, whatever you're selling just went to the sky. That's communication. But what we don't know, and I'm here to tell you on Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, where I speak, I enlighten you. I am trying to tell you they were smart. They brought up everything, brothers and sisters, everything, and you went for it. Now, I can't just tell you in 1 hour all of the black media they brought. But let's take the Magnificent Three. Could be four, but let's take the three. You remember that cookie? Famous Amos? Oh, did we love that cookie. He would be a billionaire today. He made a major mistake. I'm not here to tell you I was sitting there. He probably, they offered him $20 million. He said, nope. $25 million. Nope. $70 million. Nope. When they got to $100 million, knowing us, he said, deal. And if you recollect, he came back on TV with his $100 million and tried to create something else. It failed. Create something else. It failed. Create something else. It failed. Then he started teaching on the radio. He had to spend his money. It failed. Do you hear from him today? Yes. Well, how do you? We buy his cookie. Where you buy it? In the supermarket? Where you buy it? In the drugstore? You buy Famous Amos, but it ain't going to Famous Amos. He sold it. It don't go to his children. He sold it. Where's that $100 million? Because 2 decades went by. Where's the money? I'm quite sure he don't have $100 million. So he's out of sight, out of mind. So they went to Motown. Oh my God, Motown was it. Barry Gordy was happy with Motown, but he had debt. He wasn't making no real killing because it cost a lot of money to have all the groups and the writers and the instruments and the traveling and so forth and so on. They offered him a billion. He said, nope. And they offered him a billion and a half. He said, nope. And we give you $2 billion. Deal. So today, Motown is worth billions. How about $200 billion? But where is it?
Did Motown
offer $200 billion? He sold it. But why? Why did he sell it? Because he felt if he could keep $1 billion to himself, pay off all his debt, he will be able to live good in his lifetime and try to make investments. You don't hear from him. He did go on Hollywood, he did come in New York on Broadway, but it failed. But the music is strong. Every jingle is Motown. Boy, do they get paid up. So it's worth what? $300 billion. But do it go to his children? Nope. Do it go to the community? Nope. Why? They brought him out. And this one here, he was bad. This man created his own network called it BET. Oh, my God, did everybody gravitate to that? Our brother has his own TV network. But guess what? He wouldn't take a beat. Now he want to buy airlines and a major company out of Canada say, don't do it. If you ain't got $10 billion in the bank, don't come here losing your money in the airlines because it goes up, it goes down. And my God, it's not nobody's going on the planes today because he had weather this storm with those $3 billion. I don't think so. But it says BET. And you're enjoying yourself. Boy, you think it's a black network. No. Why is BET so successful? Because he didn't know to have commercials. Remember, there were no commercials with BET. So what is it worth now? How about $700 billion? And don't let me tell you about all the radio stations. These men, a group of men, had trees, and they said, shut down the black man's communication, and you can sell them anything. And this is why we got COVID-19. You don't even have a clue where COVID-19. You were scared. You were spineless. You went for the trick. You went for the hook. Why? Because you don't have nobody to tell you the difference. We don't have radio shows. We don't have. It is the powers that be said we got them. They have no communication. They're cut off. And the few people, we don't listen to those stations that tell us the truth. We sit there and we think that 60 Minutes is going to tell you the truth. Oh, they give you enough. They give you enough, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something, what I found out that's coming to fruition. I found out that they have penetrated every organization that has power. The Black Panther power. The NAACP. Think black, they are there. Why? Because they give money. Why? Just to make you think that this is for you, because they give you just enough. They can't go against the Jews now. Those Zionist Jews, they say something, they should.
Or a deep commandment.
but you can come on these stations and tell the truth, but they only let you tell but so much. It's like the Democrats and the Republicans. You really think that they do not control the Democrats? You mistaken. They got them. You say, why? They black. Most of them are black. How could that happen? They needed the money. They needed to pay their mortgage. They needed to send their children to school. So they sold out. Today, they are sold out because of their self-gratification. And that's how they got us. Oh, yes, they're all in Christianity. Look at this sex, abusing kids and children and so forth. They give them what they want to control the religion. They stay in the Jewish religion big time. Matter of fact, the ones that don't follow Abraham is the ones that's controlling the entire earth. Isn't that amazing? Is they in Islam? Big time. Big time. They come in speaking. This is the Rahman Rahim. Yes, they come in speaking another language. You don't even know what the hell they say. Before you know it, brothers and sisters, they want Islam to speak out. They don't even look like us. We had men that have been to jail for espousing Islam in America. We had women went through hell just to wear the Islamic code, establish Islam in America. We had men that lost their life because if you kill one of us, 10 of y'all are dead. So they had to lock them up. They had men robbing banks because you took our money, we taking your money. I mean, it was off the hook. Those black Muslims, something about them, they don't play. They are here now. They come in as high intelligence from the military. They got a new thing. They just found out. Mr. Farrakhan discovered it, and he said it. They have wrote a book, an Islamic brother wrote a book about him being a part of what they set up to turn the minds of our children to what? Murderers. Killers. Why do you think old Billy shoots the gun and he aims at the target, but he hits the little boy to the left? The guns are no good. They don't even shoot straight. How do we get all these guns? These are the guns they're supposed to and bring it back again and create. Oh, you don't have to do that. Just give it to the black man. He just loves to shoot. But why? Why do he shoot? Let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. I'll get off of this one, but you start thinking. You wonder why a black man would shoot another black man. All he got to do is disrespect because he's out of his mind on drugs. They cannot kill you unless you give them drugs. The drug makes them that devil. And then after they do it, they say, I don't know why I did it. We ask these young boys, why did you shoot five innocent people? I have no clue. Do you remember? Nope. When you taking these blunts and this coke and all this stuff that messes your brain out, now they got something new called reefer. Oh, you better tell your family the number one killer to tear up the mind of the black man. Just so happy here come these white boys wanted too. They can't help them. But it's designed to stop us from even thinking correctly. But we're all high up. This is true. They ain't just start doing this. Go check your history. They've been doing this in country. They did it with the Indians with a rug, a blanket, gave them measles. They can do all these tricks. All these tricks are diabolical. But keep hope alive, as Jesse Jackson said. I like that statement. Alive. Because they're falling. They are falling because their own Jewish brothers are coming out telling you the truth. That where did this science come through that cut down those buildings? It wasn't no plane, mathematically impossible, and there wasn't nobody on those planes because it was moved by electronic, automatic. Master to drive a 747, and it says somebody came from a foreign country that has no technology like that. But it made you think it was someone on those planes. But that diabolical mind came up with a science that when you put it down the bottom and explodes, it cuts down through steel. So they find it out. This is a young Jewish boy. He ain't playing. See how God is great? He said, don't you ever think that plane, them buildings went down across that plane. It was a bomb underneath. And why did they get all that substance out of here? Because some signs were picked up. So, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this doing here? They don't care if you die because there's too many of you all anyway. So they want to cut down the 80 billion people to at least 5 billion so they could be in trouble, but they're in trouble. They're in trouble. That's why I thought Dean was dead. No, I didn't. I thought he was alive. And guess what? The young Jewish boy said, why would they keep a man that could take them down overnight? And the reason why there's no communication, because if someone will tell you like him, the real deal, you'll wake up overnight and they will fall because they are low-life. They abuse little girls. They abuse boys. They do anything is necessary, whatever your pleasure is. And they got all these rich people. And he said, Donald Trump would love to take them down, but they got him. He don't know. They so diabolical. They know things on him, but he does not abuse. Do he mess with women? Hey, they all do. But they said he's fighting them. As bad as we think he is, he don't like the idea that they rule America. They rule Venezuela. They rule Syria. They want all these countries, and he set it up how they have set up all these people. Now, brothers and sisters, we can't go over and help Africa. We can't go over and help our brothers in Saudi Arabia and so forth and so on. They got gold. They got silver. They got plenty of money. We broke as hell. We better help ourselves. And the only way you can help yourself is to stay away from all of that that can take us down. We don't abuse little girls. We don't rape women. We don't kill innocent people because they may tell on us. We don't do stuff like that. We only kill the people that put us in slavery for 400 years. Why don't we get their children, not in us? Allah erased that away from us. But what are we doing? We're hooked on drugs. What else are we doing? We are hooked on women. What else are you doing? You're hooked on material substance, and that's how they get us. So, yes, a lot of our brothers that you think want to help you because these young kids, I heard a young girl said just one. She said, I knocked over 2,000 doors to win. They said, somebody got money behind them. I said, well, I don't have no money. Well, these young girls are coming in, young girls. These young girls are coming in, and they're not even smart enough. They've never been in politics. Yes, that's what we want. We want the men that's not on drugs. We want the men that love to be married. We want the men that's honest and got integrity. We want the men with high morals. The hell we want a person with all this knowledge, but he's diabolical. Don't you see the difference? God gave us something that you get away from it. What is it called? Common sense. The most powerful gift that God gave to the human being brain. Common sense. I heard little children say, is he a doctor? Oh, yeah, he's a surgeon. but he ain't got no damn common sense. Little children know you ain't got no common sense. You ain't gonna do what you went to school for. I'm not saying don't go to school. Yes, you're supposed to have that knowledge, but you do not get rid of something that man didn't give you. Oh, he gave you your associate degree, your bachelor degree, yes. He gave you your math, and most of them are white folks. Find me a black professor that owned a school that gave you them degrees, that's an exception to the rule. But what God gave you in the womb of your mother is common sense. Everything is built on common sense. So in heaven, brothers and sisters, you got to understand where we came from before I give you this new news. Prophet was brought, he brought good news. Good news. That's what he's known for. The prophet brought good news. That's Shalom Middle. Is the mortal human being just like you? That's in the Quran. So God showed us the connection when God said, Muhammad brings us good news. That God do not send an angel to lead us. No. No, brothers and sisters, he didn't send no angel to lead us. God said, man, the mortal flesh and blood that loves women and wife and children kind of man that should be our leader, not angel. This is what God is saying. If you ain't flesh and blood and you ain't got good morals and get married and have children, that's the man you want to lead you. So when God said to the angels in heaven that man leads, he's the leader of the earth. They ain't accepted. The angels didn't accept it. So keep in mind, remember now, the angels didn't accept it. They did not believe we should be trusted with that responsibility. That's how they saw us, because we was mud, dirt, and clay. That's how they see us today. But who are these angels that went against God? So I want you to keep in mind. I want you to keep in mind the angels that were in heaven, the angels are created to do just the will of God. And they were the first creation, and God told those angels, I created you to protect my human being. But Iblis was the angel up there. Why? He was angelic. But he wasn't an angel. He was not an angel in his, he was a jinn. It's three creatures, the angel, the jinn, and the human being. But the point was that he was doing good. And when you do good, you're an angel. I like this story. I do it all the time. People from Blog Talk Radio, New Alpha Exodus, and I always bring it back. I'm not redundant. I'm consistent. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. It's like a female. You marry, young, beautiful. Oh, boy, she got a doctorate degree. She's everything. Hey, Mariah, you just married a beautiful young girl. How is that young wife? Oh, she's an angel. 10 years, how's that beautiful wife? Oh, she's an angel. You're sitting in a barber shop, and they said, ah, that young wife, she's an angel. But you decide to come home because the Quran says 2, 3, or 4. So you decide to take on a second wife. So you come home, but your wife ain't there. But she's in the house. Here she comes with her groceries. Rod, what are you doing? I said, where's that young lady? Oh, this is my second wife. She goes in the kitchen, puts her bag down. All of a sudden, here come a knife. Shoo! Whoa! The woman went crazy. Here comes the hammer. Shoo! That went past me. Now she went and got the gun. Now you getting out of there. Bullets shooting over your head. Shoo! 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 A week later, you're sitting in the barber shop. Hey, Rod, how's that angel that you married? Oh, she's a devil. Now, let's see how we can change. You can change what you want, not the angels. They cannot. The jinn is like us in the sense of the word. He can be anything he wants. He can come as a woman. He can come as a dog. He can come as a cat. He can come any kind of way he wants. But he's not above us. So these jinns, was acted as an angel. That's why it was in heaven. When you do good, you're in heaven, brothers and sisters. But you get out of heaven quick. Because that jinn that's in us disturbs us, and we start doing things that we make sin. Yes, we all sin. It's that jinn. But the problem is, he was jealous. Just like that female got jealous, he was jealous. That's what turned. He never thought he would do that. He never thought he would be a devil. He wasn't created to be a devil. He just had the right to choose to be a devil. But when Allah told us to name those angels that didn't know their name, what happened? What happened, brothers and sisters? They all went down in Sajda. Everybody but it. Why? Because he was named. Tell them their names. We were so highly intelligent. Where was man? We naming angels. Angels didn't even know. They only know what you teach us, Lord. Adam, tell them their names. After he breathed, he told the jinns. He said, you can look at them as mud and dirt, but wait till I breathe into the nostrils of Adam. He came alive. He still didn't accept that. Angels, tell me your name. We only know what you tell us, Lord. He said, Adam, tell them their name. That's why we name everything. We name so much things that the brother's so hung up on hand. Oh, don't give me your left hand. Your left hand is dirty. Now, if you would think with common sense, did Allah create anything dirty? Who made it left? Who made it right? We did. We made it that. Allah don't need your language. He says it's to control. Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. But if someone has told you that, you wouldn't get it. So they said hands, and you go for it now. And don't let a baby come out using the left hand more than using the right. They say, in Islam, they curse. I said, you're a damn fool. You're stuck on stupid. You can't come here with that paganism. Well, that's not true, but they got us doing it. Because why? They don't change our way of thinking because we don't for ourselves. But yet we have the Quran. Allah is right there in the Holy Quran. Right there in the Quran. My two mercies. And that left hand, you grab, go pick up that box, Marah. I'm going to grab with my right hand, but it's heavier. No, my mind did not tell the left hand to help me. It helps automatically. So we want to see if someone will not tell what to do, the other one submit to knowing what you need. You can have a wife like that sometimes. I know I want to make a left, so I just point my finger. She said, yeah, make a left here. She's so in tune with you. She knows what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, because why? We are one. And when you're not one, y'all confused. Arguments, there's fights. This is what the jinn does to us. So they didn't want to believe it. They didn't think we should be trustworthy with responsibility. God made man to be human. And Adil, we have angel in us because we can be an angel. How that happened? How could you prove that? Well, Muhammad, the prophet, prayer of peace, upon him, he was human, but his nature was angelic. It was like the angels. So when you ask him, is a jinn in you? He said, I made my jinn Muslim. And when you come into your common sense and back to your DNA or fitra in which you was created, you're just like an angel. But don't misconstrue. You're above the angel. You're human. Why? Because the angels have a job. They have to only do what God tells them to do. So when you have to leave here, you can cry, you can go high, you can do whatever you want. Allah send the death angel. You got to leave here. Can't beg or pray for that. And when you come out in the world, Allah allows you through the angels. Rain, hail, storm, it's rains. A lot of people die from that. The angels do whatever God says. But we don't have a job. We have a responsibility, brothers and sisters. And we make decisions. If you want, if you make the wrong decision, it's going to come back to haunt you. And so, therefore, we're being hoodwinked and bamboozled. And we fear that this Caucasian, this wicked Caucasian, these wicked Jews, is going to take us down. Because they created their own communication, now we know they have no morals. And Epstein got it all. Yes, he's dead, but there's a book out, and there's a book that's going to come out. And that young lady, she's smart. You kill me, I will open the book to everybody, but she's going to tell it, because you realize the Catholic Church got babies down in the basement dead because these no, you know, none needs none of this world, but yet they had to be a part of the world in order to have those babies. The priest ain't supposed to have no woman, but yeah, he got little boys bent over. All this is coming out, and people are waking up. The Caucasians are waking up and saying, hey, we've been tricked. The only one still asleep is us. Well, tonight I'm going to introduce you why our men, you know, our men should support our women in leadership. Why they don't do that? In positions within our community. You can't leave the female behind. But we have. And then in Islam, some of us put them in the basement. Some of them put them behind a wall. You know why they're behind a wall? Because here come the foreigner that says, oh, you got to hide her. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased in Grand Paradise, he said, get that wall out of there. That female sits next to you, separated. And when we pray in the masjid, she pray behind us because we can't watch her bend over. That's the only way we are separate. But when you go to hide, all that don't exist. She's going around that Kaaba, and she better not fall, because a million will walk on. Ain't no such thing as male and female. These are human beings that submit to the will of God walking around the Kaaba. But then when we come home, we forget the fellow is left in Saudi Arabia. We come back, put him downstairs, put him over there. Don't let them do this and don't let them do that. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, my success out there in the world, dealing with billionaires, making deals with billionaires, is those women was with me. And the only way I was successful, I was their husband from the neck up. See, that's morals. Because when you don't have no morals, don't care how powerful you can get, how powerful you become, you go to jail for 10 years. That little slip that Bill Cosby made, they locked him up. But these men, I had no sex with that woman. They can lie. And now that's coming out. Come to find out, she was aging. Sent them in together. Now, I know all about that, brothers and sisters, because when you come in on private jets, when you land on roofs with helicopters, when you're in an escort and police officers in front of you in the back of you outside the country, and they jump to the tension and say, "Welcome to Puerto Rico, Mr. Muhammad." Oh, you become big-headed. So here comes that lovely, beautiful, gorgeous woman. And they pretty around the world. Especially you come in with presidential suites, especially you on all TV, she wants you. But she don't really want you. They send them. And you go for the okey-doke because why? You have no morals. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us morals. He didn't teach us to smile, so don't give him that. He said, "I ain't come here to teach you religion. I came to clean you up. But you can't come to Allah dirty." So he was wudu. And then his son took him to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. But we now understand what is a Muslim. Because we didn't know. We thought we knew. We thought Muslim meant al-Islam. If you don't have al-Islam, you're not a Muslim. No, you're unintelligent. You stuck on stupid. Every human being, including the Ku Klux Klan, is a Muslim. Well, why is he diabolical? That's his mind. He has a right. And I just tell you, you have a truth. You can make a choice. You can be Nicky Bond, Frank Lucas. They had millions of dollars in the war, and many officers working for them while they got away. But it's called temporary heaven. For what? Permanent hell. Both of them came out broke, doing time, 11 years. Who wants that? Who wants that, brothers and sisters? So Allah is not going to punish you like you will be punished on the final day of judgment, because as long as you got breath in you, you can beg God for forgiveness. But if you don't, you're going to the hellfire, because we all sin. But come to your Lord. You don't have to go to no man. Go to your Lord and tell him what's wrong, but don't lie, because everything you do, ever heard the same, and what's in the dark comes to the light? Yeah, you better pray it comes to the light while you live, because you can beg for that sin. But in the hereafter, your lips are sold, sealed, and your portfolio will be read. That's my humble opinion. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, praise and thanks is given to God, the Lord of all the world. We thank him for creating us. We thank him for our presence. We ask Allah to guide us and protect us. For he's close to us in our jugular vein, so he's near. You don't have to holler, scream. He knows your thoughts before you think it. He's the creator of the heavens and earth and everything between it. And he created it all for us. But he needs nothing from us and needs nothing from his creation. He has no partners, no associates. He has no wife and no children. He's one. He stands alone. And you can only come to him if you come to him as a slave servant. You have to submit your total will to God and he will protect you. But you have that angel on the right, and that angel on the right sometimes will tell you right from wrong. People don't know. They don't teach our children. We come out of the womb with the angels on our shoulder, but children don't know that. But the one on the left, he takes you to hell. He's the one who writes your history. But he's not like the man. The man will sponge your history like they did Bill Cosby and seal it. And then some diabolical mind said, "The hell would I break the law and unseal it while he's doing 10 years? Because he admitted to that. Well, God raised it. It's race. Yes, it's race. Go make a nuisance. But you ain't not going to get punished for that. So So they say our father Adam cursed the world. No, who would have told you that? It's a lie. No man can curse you that you say, oh, Jesus died for my sins. Adam slipped, but he repented. That's all that meant. That is the first prophet, the first man on earth made a mistake. He begged Allah, and Allah forgave him. That's what he's saying. You're going to make mistakes. If you make a mistake, you go to God. Do you sin, Marat? Yes. Do you make mistakes, Marat? Yes. Well, what makes you different from us? I'm not different. I go right to Allah and say, forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And Allah erases it. Because he says, if there's a group of people that will not sin, he will erase them from the earth and replace one that will. Now, how do you read that? How do you comprehend that? Because you only come to God when you hurt. You only come to God when you're down and out. You only come to God when you're sick. And don't you least know you're dying. Oh, son, you got the Lord in you. So if you do it while you're alive, you get good at it. And you can come angelic. You can come that angel. Yes, you can make your jinn Muslim. Have you, Marat? No. But he is a sympathizer. He's something that he used to allow me to do. I don't do it, he don't bother me. That's reality. So that's why Allah said your good must outside your supersede your sins. 51:49, you made it to heaven. But I don't want to graduate in the top 500. Let me be the top 5, the top 10. That's the one that works harder. One of us on this line is more closer to God. Oh, do he rule? Yes. Do he judge? Yes. Well, which one of us? The one who's most mindful of their duties. So we thank Allah for our presence, and we thank him for the seal of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Muhammad, the son of Ibn Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah. And we thank him for sending us a messenger. But it wasn't just for us, it's for all human beings. And we salute him with the excellent salute, the salutation salute. Peace and blessing be upon the Prophet. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam wa salatu ala kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqallah within. Today, brother, we have a blessing. We have a sister that's been on the phone with me for months, and I fell in love with her conscience and her taqwa. I fell in love with her understanding of the Quran, and I fell in love with her because she's a beautiful wife and a beautiful mother. Just so happened, I know her father and her mother very well. Her father, Abdullah Muhammad, who everyone knows as Robert 7X, a lot of my business came because of his mind. Go get that building. Go get that building. Open up that restaurant. Let's put trucks on the road. Meal on the wheel. So I never had a job. I was always an entrepreneur and very successful. So I love that family. It's 11 of them. However, to her, I said, boy, this is a bright young lady. And she did a lot of things, and she's not shameful to tell you what she don't know. Very educated. All his family members are educated. If his father was here, he would be so elated. But he's there with them in spirit. And I want to tell you something, and they may not like for me to say it, but it should be said. If he did anything wrong to his children, they all said before he left here, he begged them for forgiveness. See, that's El Islam. That's good character. That's obedient to God. because he was smart enough. If I'm going to die tomorrow, next week, next month, 4 years from now, I'm going to clear this up while I'm alive. So he would not be charged with it. I would tell you about the story of the man that killed 99, but that'll take me another 20 minutes. But this young lady, I said to her, I would like for you to have your own radio show. Now, when you say that, oh, I can't do it, I don't know, I'm shy, I don't know, let me think about it. She said, yes. She didn't know how we're going to do it, why we're going to do it. She said, yes, for communication is everything. Then she brought me her sister. And her sister just got a PhD. Of course, the family is very happy, but she's a doctor. And I said, why don't you all two come together? That's a great idea. So I wanted her last month. You know me, I don't want no grass growing monster. I wanted 2 months ago, and she picked a date. She said, okay, we'll do it September the 3rd. I think it's the 3rd. Well, anyway, it's Friday. No, Saturday, excuse me. It's Saturday. So we got close, and we're getting close because it's this Saturday. So I said, why don't you come on the air so we can have a conversation, introduce you to, if I lost $1, I got them millions of people out there listening, at least you will know on Saturday you can hear her. She said, okay, Uncle Murad. She called me Uncle Murad, and that's what her mother asked her to call me, and I accept it. I'll be your uncle. I'll be your uncle. So I love the family. And her name is Salima. Salima, you beautiful, gorgeous specimen of a human being and a great mother to our community. Are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I like when she, you know, most women, assalamu alaikum, came in here. But Alhamdulillah Muhammad, she grew up on the MGT. As a little girl, under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because her mother and father, it says you should greet, this is something, brothers and sisters, it says you should greet a person equal or better. So when someone comes and says, Assalamu alaikum, you ain't supposed to say, wa alaikum assalam. No, give it to them, give it to them better. But what these brothers did, the foreigners came over and said, no, that's not what that means. What do it mean? When you greet someone, give them the whole greeting. What is the whole greeting? As-salamu alaykum rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. It didn't fit me. It didn't fit my soul. So I went and studied and I said, Brother Imam, I'm a student of Imam Walter Fee Muhammad. I don't see anything in there that says that we're supposed to give the greetings like that. He said, well, how do you see it? I said, I can say when you speak of the prophet, he says it. He said, there it is. That's strictly for the prophet. I said, whoa. So maybe assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, since we turned to our right, that's the angel. Right. To our left, that's the angel. Right. But the angel is not in control. The jinn is not in control. How would Allah put us over top the entire earth, brothers and sisters? We're over top of the whole earth. That's why Satan don't like you. He can't come up to our level. He's a jinn. He cannot be a human being. The crown of creation. Brothers and sisters, if you understood that, you would not lay around. You would not procrastinate. You would do what Allah puts here with a khalifa of the world. Congratulations. I thank you for accepting. Tell me and tell the viewing audience out there, what's the name of your show going to be? What time you come on? And how you going to proceed dealing with your own show. I'll come if you ask me to, but that is going to be your show. I'm willing to listen.
All praises are due to Allah, and thank you. I thank your listening audience. I thank Almighty God Allah for his guidance, blessings upon my family, my community. Reverence the womb that bore you. I am so full. You know, yes, I did grow up as an MGT in GCC, and there was always enthusiasm. Even on your downest days, there was someone in that Islamic network to pick your spirit up. And that is how I grew up, and I give thanks to Almighty God Allah. The name of the show will be Family and Community. And why is family so important to Muslims? The family is the foundation of Islamic society. Importantly, the peace and security offered by a stable family unit, which is imperative and is paramount to spiritual growth in the community. A harmonious social order is created by the existence of extended families. So everything that we discuss, everything that we read, everything that we build upon in order to extend to the community becomes stabilized through a strong family unit. And what I like to say, we don't always get it right. And you know what? That's okay. Because we're here to learn, we're here to grow. And yes, you made a comment. And no, I do not mind. I am sure that the rest of my family will feel the same way. Yes, my father came to his children and his wives and asked for forgiveness. And I remember laughing with him. I said, "Dad, you have some work to do." We started laughing. We were talking 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I said, "You know what I love about you?" He said, "What?" I said, "I have work to do too." And I says, "You are my example. I am no more perfect than you. So you, as an example, wanting to understand the last 20 years, and I thank Allah because I had 20 years, we had such a marvelous relationship. We grew, we spoke about business, we spoke about Islam and how important it was and how to represent yourself to Allah. And I feel so blessed that I had such an opportunity to experience this with him. So the show will be based on family and community and what we're challenged within family and community. And the most important thing is that we keep trying at it. We keep perfecting it. We keep coming back. We learn from our mistakes. And we move forward to build a community and clean up the community. Uncle Malak, you speak about the ills of the community, the drugs, the alcohol, poverty, health factors. We're going to discuss all of these things on the show because these things contribute to our sustenance and our health and our ability to mobilize and move forward. And when you experience trauma in family, there has to be a healing process. So we'll be speaking a great deal about healing and how we contribute to one another so that we can grow. You made a very important point regarding communication and how communication is essential to go forward as a community. And one of the things we want to do when we communicate is to be able to do it not only domestically, but internationally. And that is going to be the basis and the foundation of the show that my sister, Dr. Nadia Muhammad, and I bring. She talked me into going into my PhD program. I am only 9 credits away from dissertation. And my dissertation is on specifically, I already started it, colorectal cancer among African American men. And I started this study years ago. And we are increasingly losing our men to this disease. In fact, the percentage went up from 2014 from 35% per 100,000 persons to now 58.8%. So something is going on. Are we getting early screenings? What's going on with the diet? So these are the types of things we will be addressing. The first show will be Saturday, September 5th. And we're so excited. My siblings and I are dedicating the first show to our mother, Hadia El Amin Muhammad, also known as Sister Alice OX. And we're so excited because my sister's dissertation was on caretaking and what can be offered to caretakers as respite. As you take care of a loved one, you become totally consumed with them and you find yourself in a very isolated situation. My sister, Dr. Nadia Muhammad, took care of our mother during her final days, and we all contributed on various levels. So we'll go more into that on the show. It was a very, very rewarding experience. And I'll share this because our mother, she was very outspoken. And she said, I laugh and I smile because she had such a spirit. And she said, are you people going to put me in a nursing home? And I said, well, Mother, let's discuss this. I said, do you want to go into a nursing home? She said, absolutely not. And by the grace of Allah, she did not go into a nursing home. We did exactly what she wanted, and that was the recipe and the combination of trust and love and reverencing the womb that bore you, that sacrificed and gave you life. So we honored that. So we'll be going into that and what an honor that was. It was not a sad story. It was a trying story, but Allah was with us every step of the way. So we're just looking so forward to that and so excited. And that's going to be the basis of the show.
Well, I think that's a great introduction. I want you to share with us your sister and her education and what makes this unique, brothers and sisters. You see how she's loved her sister. Now, I understand she's the number seven. So she's the seventh child. Salima is number one. Key factor of all of this is that Andia is with Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I'd say to everybody, yes, I'm on the student of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I never left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was like our father. And to some of us, he was our uncle. Some of us, he was our great-grandfather. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, all he cared about was making us free internally to be clean and love our sisters. So Minister Farrakhan do a wonderful job, and he tells me I love him. He says it three times. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I say it three times when I kiss him. But this is what I am doing. Do you see she has no dissension? She has no separation? Because we all serve God. And we all serve our parents. And believe it or not, most of us is in all that is a race for that which is good. I'm going to try to be the best one out of the 10 or the 16, like my grandma. I'm going to be the best one. I want to be outshining all. So we are in a competition. And some does more, and some gets in trouble, and so forth and so on. But we never separate. And that's the problem with the human being. Allah made you free. He never said that Islam is compulsory. Plenty of mothers and fathers as Christians. We got plenty of mothers and fathers that's with Jehovah's Witness. We got you saying we don't love our mothers. You saying we don't love our uncles. You saying we don't love our family. And you don't have this religion. So before you continue, I want to say this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says to all you Jews and Christians and Sabians, if you believe in one God in the hereafter, he didn't say if you believe in Al-Islam. Say if you believe in Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say that. He said if you believe in one God in the hereafter, there will not, this is God talking, not me, not the Prophet, praise be upon him. This is Allah saying there will be no burden on you. What was Allah saying? There's no compulsory in Islam. So he don't love what you say. He don't love what you do. He don't love all the prayers you make. That's for you. But what he does judge is the heart of the human being. And none of us can judge another man or woman's heart but God. And so those who make it to heaven, because he don't judge what you judge. That same woman can be that devil today. Come back tomorrow, come back next week, and you say, my God, she's the angel again. Because emotions, all of us to do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. I give you a good example. She tell you to get out. Now, you have bought that mattress. You got everything in there, all the insurance, everything is in our name. But you brought it. But she told you to get out. And in this country, you got to get out. Because that's hers until you can prove in the courtroom it isn't. But that's hers. But you get out there and you say, whoa, this is another world out there. And you meet somebody and you don't come back. They say, man, your wife is crying. Well, how is a woman crying if he told me to get out? No, it's emotions. Allah, he knows the heart means right. That he is, she is saying, Allahu Akbar. Now you see the difference? It's, now they may call him Jehovah, they may call him anything you want, but Allah knows in their heart they're saying Allahu Akbar. That's what makes Allah different than us. You didn't create yourself so you can't judge yourself. So give us an understanding, because I said to your doctor, she's a doctor, I said, Salima can hold a fort down. Don't y'all ever separate. If, in fact, you have a priority, you is not, this is your show, y'all do it the way y'all want to do it. I'm not no dictator. And you'll find yourself, you'll get better and better. And hopefully, we can motivate other women. Y'all have the ability. It's just that man done put you in neutral and think you should be there. In Islam, if you speaking of the Quran and you make a mistake, the female have the right to upon Allah and teach you the correct way. She has a voice, because the Quran ain't he or she. You don't own the Quran, brother Imam. The Quran is the heart and the nature of the human being. Well, the prophet said it. His wife said it, pardon me. Who is your husband, Aisha? He said, a human walking Quran. Okay, you got it. But Allah said, tell him, Muhammad, before you leave, that I'm a mortal human being just like you. So that means we all are walking human Quran. It's just he's more obedient than we are. So we have to strive to love one another. Just give me a little more, because she's a doctor. You said what she did for Mama and what her degree is in. But tell us just a little bit about this beautiful, lovely Muslim woman. Now, sister, that's Christian, you're Muslim. Well, my people that followed me for 7 years, they go into church and say, I'm a Muslim. I'll tell you in a minute. I educate them. It got nothing to do with anything else but your nature. So tell me a little bit more about that beautiful doctor that became, I was there. You invited my wife and I. We was right there when she was being celebrated.
Yes, you were.
I was, all y'all was there. Go right ahead. What, tell us a little more about her.
She, Nadia, the mother of two children, and when she was born, she was very ill, and mother was up all night because she was ill, and I would help her. So the bond started there. And I think the bond, my mother's particular set of children, there's nine of us, you know, started with the niyyah or the intention of our mother and her commitment to Allah. So Nadia was very, very ill, and it's so funny because we chuckle, all of us chuckle, because she was the type of student in school. I said, doctor, I kid her all the time. I said, doctor, I remember the type of student, she would work so hard, and she would always have interest in the sciences, but she couldn't pull more than a C. And she said, can you believe, Salima, I'm a doctor now? I said, yes, I can believe it, because I know where you came from. She was a scientist. She didn't care about that, see. She understood the concepts of science. And our mother insisted, all of her children, not all of us listened, but some of us did, to attend Kane University out of Union, New Jersey. This is where Nadia and myself completed our undergraduate degrees. And she graduated with a biology background. From there, she went to the University of Medicine and Dentistry and obtained her master's in biomedical informatics. And this is where she became a genius at scientific data. She became an expert in scientific data. So we will always combine. My sister Fatima, she laughs at me. She says, when you and Nadia start talking, I just listen. Because we go on this scientific cloud. Science has always excited us. And I'm not certain that if it were not for her, I would be in the scientific field per se, although I worked for pharmaceutical companies for over 20 years. And she, too, had experiences with pharmaceutical companies as well. And it's so funny because we're here, and mother, when she was pregnant with her eighth child, she went back to school and obtained her bachelor's degree in management science. And then mother was then appointed to the Office of Social Work in the town in which she lived and retired there. So she was our inspiration. And my sister, mother would just help her in so many ways to pursue her dreams. My mother had a vision with regard to Dr. Muhammad, and she supported her in that. And she supported the nephews, the grandchildren, because she knew what she was trying to do. And then she will refer, especially in her latter years, how important the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would speak about academics, science specifically. So after she completed her master's in biomedical informatics, she started doing clinical trial studies, and quite famous clinical trial studies on diabetes, obesity, and then caretaking. And I think one of the questions that was presented to her when she defended her dissertation was, you're not creating a new wheel, so what are you going to show differently? And she'll explain this more on the show about caretaking. She gave the percentage and she said nobody's getting any support. Women and men, sometimes young adults, teenagers, are taking care of their ill loved ones by themselves. And this is not okay. So I'm going to show that this should not be an isolated experience that was sold after that. And she went on to defend her arguments, and as a result of her hard work, was granted her doctorate degree based on that very argument.
That's Alhamdulillah. That's Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. You know, y'all all are blessed. You have the number 10 child, different mother, same father. And she was doing TV. That's where I met her. She gave the news, and she used to say that the reason she went and got her degree, she had a master in communication, because her father was put on that train and made sure she got to school to be who she is today. So all y'all, it's just Alhamdulillah that all 10 of y'all have.
Yes, sir.
Let me share this with you, because the people for 7 years don't really know me. And I was not trying to always say, go to your internet, go to Google, Yahoo, Wikipedia. You can, whatever, just put my name and it's going to pop up and tell you who I am. But it doesn't go into the significance of what I have done. And when you said science, there are 10 science in the world. And, of course, you've got Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Warren Buffett. I can name them, but there is 7 more. And they ran this survey. A doctor from India, Ande Ramesh, or A-M-E-S-H. When I walked into his life, and he's been with me for going on about 7 years, he was number one in the world that he was chosen in science. And he created sickle cell. He helped them tremendously in Africa. And it's a long story how he found the root of sickle cell. He had a school in New Brunswick. It looked like a fort. Everything out of steel. And he loves doctors like yours, because he wants to leave it behind. He got over 32 patents. Now, I know, because he said, come on, you're going with me. And he had to put in my name at the FDA. The FDA stamp approved his sickle cell. He got the cure to sickle cell. So he went in. It was men with guns on their side, about 20 of them. I said, what is this, Fort Knox? And it was all brothers. We had to literally get out of our car, and they had to check you. Whatever they did, it took about 15 minutes, so we all had to get back in. They said, park them cars right over here in the lot. And they send you a bus, because it was 7 of us. When they send you that bus, you had to get bused to that building. It takes about 5 minutes. And I said, who's in it? He said, 10,000 physicians, 10,000 scientists. I said, wow, on 100 acres of land. So we went through some more scrutiny. And this way, you put your name in there, and they'll tell you what school you graduated in kindergarten. Everything comes up where you can get in this building. Well, he was the spokesman. All the doctors are listening in their office, and of course we had about 200 in the room. They only fits about 200. But he was sent around the world, and this man is 80 years old, speaks like a young man. He said, I'm going to call up Dr. Murad. I don't know why they call me Dr. Murad, but he gave me Dr. Murad. He's said that he would give me my doctorate degree. So what am I going to say? All of the doctors, and I said, y'all the closest thing to God. I said, the reason I respect you all, because if your mother got shot in the leg and your father got shot in the arm and you came into the emergency room, but you see that stranger over there got shot in the head, you'll give your mother and sister, if she ain't going to die, she might hurt a little bit, your father may hurt, but you're going to help that stranger that's dying. And for that alone, I respect that y'all don't see nothing but the human beings that God created you to maintain. Standing ovation. And the host gets up and says, okay, you all that's coming behind Dr. Mirai, I don't think you're going to be able to match that. So I'm excited. So I said to the lady, oh, can I get a copy of it? Because I follow rules. They said, turn off your phones. I don't turn off my phone. I take, but hey, I'm in, it's like coming into the masjid, and you got to put your heels up. We got to check your heels. So I, you know, I'm used to it. So I said, can I get a copy of that tape? They said, oh, no. You can make an appointment, and we'll put you in the audio vision room, and you can listen to it so you can't take nothing out of here. I said, whoa. So we got this big board with his picture and everything and took it back. This man is so sharp. He wants to teach what he has. You just mentioned your sister. You mentioned science. He knew that she know what you just said. He said, Marad, she need to be in my lab. And he because he had a light stroke, couldn't walk. Every day he got up and walked to anybody, and today is walking. He will not give up. His name is Dr. Pandey Aramis, R-A-M-E-S-H, Pandey, P-A-N-D-E-Y. Look him up. He's on all the news. He's on everything. And he has that plaque as the number one scientist around the world, not just here in the state of New Jersey, because he's not really from here. But he has built a lab in Egypt, takes care of them tremendously, and gave them the patent, showed them how to do it for themselves. He's not as selfish as anybody. And he's the first Hindu that I can tell you some stories about how we was taught about the Hindu, but this man, this is how he is. If you come and meet him, Salim, Salima, she would say, you're God sent. You have to prove to him you're not God sent. Every human being that approaches him, he tells them you're God sent if you come to him. I said, let me ask you a question. Y'all believe in that cow? He said, believe the cow because the cow is the next female. He gives that baby milk. That blew my mind. They don't praise them. Okay. They respect that cow because they don't eat meat. That's what they don't do. But I haven't seen. I can honestly tell you, ma'am said this one time. He says, if you go to some of these foreign countries, you will find out they are so humble. You would say, my God, that's the way we're supposed to be in Islam, every human being. So I want to say this to you all out there, brothers and sisters. In Africa, the man walks in front of the woman. Now, in my ignorance, I thought that meant he's over top of the woman. No. I have a doctor that speaks on this radio. Her name is Dr. Okendo, but she says, call me Dr. O, so you don't mispronounce her name. I asked, she said, what do you think? I think you think that's man's chauvinist. She said, no. The man walks in front of the woman in Africa because a lion could come out. He gets the first one. I got a chance to get away. I said, long way. Lord, there ain't no such thing as a man over top of the female. And that's why Allah says that Adam and Eve is one soul. Don't let me have to teach that because we'll be on this radio for another hour. However, I was talking to a brother. I love him. He's a doctor. His wife is a lawyer. And he said, you know, I'm going to go to Africa. He says, peaceful over there. And all I can think of, he will go anywhere with his wife. For God says, this whole earth is a masjid. Abu masjid Allah. The whole earth. Sometimes we have to move. Because you stay in one place and say, I just can't make it. Go elsewhere. Go move. And you do it. Because you're from north, and you know where. You 6.5 hours by plane away from here. But that's what we're supposed to do. If it ain't for us on this part of the world, you go to the next part of the world. And that's when you think peacefully. But you're not going there to stick nobody up. You go to enjoy your family, enjoy life, meet new people. And that broadens your scope. I want to thank you, Salima. I really appreciate it. We got about 5 more minutes. If anybody wants to come in and say a few words before I hang up, I didn't want to. I gave her this time, brothers and sisters, because I think this was a good time on Tuesday, because Tuesday don't come back until after Saturday. And I will join them on Saturday, and you all can tune in on that day and hear both of them speak. And I said to her sister, Nadira, that she didn't have to come on. She was well represented, and we all salute her for her outstanding achievement and being an academic. And I'm quite sure she can go further, but I just had to tell you about that. Depending on that, you'd be shocked and amazed the people that gravitates to me. And they all are very, very highly successful because of, he's going to Ghana. That's where he's going. And I kind of said to him, you know, the first time I stepped in Ghana, I said, go to the Star Ledger, look up Jerry Eisenberg. And he'll tell you about the man from York, New Jersey. Ghana gave me $14 million. I ain't never been in Africa before in my life. I went there to upgrade their technology and engineering on their communication. Outside of that, I was bringing them Muhammad Ali. They gave me $14 million. So that was signed and delivered, and it was put in the journal. In the Star Ledger, because he wrote for both of them. He said, you're kidding. Yeah, Ghana's a nice place, but today it looks like baby New York. It wasn't like that when I came, but I came to help them. Brothers, sisters, if I say anything to hurt anyone, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I said anything that's incorrect, I'm human, I make mistakes, we say, SubhanAllah, Allah is the best knower. But if I said anything to motivate you and give you determination to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen of a fitra in the nature in which you all have been created, if I got you to want to believe in God and have faith in God and love God, be obedient to God, that's your taqwa, we call it your God conscious, don't give me none of those credits. You get that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and glorify his name. And I greet you from our father, Adam, our biological father, which we don't talk about. But if you study Adam, you'll know who we are. We don't know his height. We don't know his color. We don't know anything, but if you study the Quran, we are his type. I mean, that blood runs through our stream. We're the children of Adam. And I greet you from our other father, but don't misconstrue, he's not the father like Adam, our biological father, because he too is the son of Adam. And that's Abraham. Some people say Abraham, but you know who we're talking about. He's the father of the intellectual mind, all nationality, meaning that every human being got the same intellect as Abraham. So he's our father in that sense of the word. And we greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means what? Muslim. He came to do the work of Allah, and he said, in me is in you, and you is in me. Same thing. We're the same, got the same nature. And I greet you from my brother, the seal of the prophet of 1,400 years ago, important. He's a mercy to all human beings. All human beings, he's a mercy, not just to us. But why we give him such a great salute, that salutation is, may the peace and blessing be upon him and his descendants and his companions, because we will be redundant if we had to give all the prophets, and most of us only know 7 or 8. One brother came on the air and says 125,000. Yes, we greet all them when we greet him, because all the ingredients is in him, and Allah had to build it in moderation, for he put the seal that no one is coming outside of Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace upon him. And I greet you from the language of the Quran. The language of the Quran, it's not Arabic. It's Arabiar if you want to give it the name, but say the Quran in Arabic. As-salamu alaykum. I was your host tonight, Murad Muhammad, and I want to thank Salima and Nadira, and hopefully, inshallah, that we'll be back on Saturday. But you will hear us Friday. I do come back on Friday at 5 o'clock on conference call. We like to open it up so all y'all have a time to speak. But tomorrow you got Eli Obey. Man, Eli Obey will be on, and he's from 7 to 9. Then he returns. I'm sorry, 7 to 8. He returns on Thursday, and he teaches the Tafsir of Imam Waduddin Muhammad. And I told you about Friday. Then we return on Saturday. I've given up Saturday. And one thing good about for my beautiful sister, she can take 7 to 8, and if she happened to go over, she might have a great show. She got another hour. So if she did 1 hour and 5 minutes, it's okay. If she did 1 hour and 20 minutes, it's okay. You see, when you spend your money, they say the one who pays the fiddle, you call the tune. We pay for this. New Africa Excellent Enterprise, when I speak. And so I have a right to share how many minutes and seconds and hours to whoever's qualified and bona fide and have a love, what you just heard tonight from that beautiful sister who says, I represent not just my immediate family, but the community. And then Dr. He's working on his two doctor degree, and that is the great grandson of Booker T. Washington. I gave him Friday. He does Friday, does Juma, and he's a beautiful specimen of a human being. But he comes from academia, and so he's working. He got a master here and a master there. He loves engineering, but now he's working on a double doctor. And he's in charge of PG University. They changed it. He don't like it. But see, that's what they do to us. But God willing, it'll be turned back to in his lifetime, if he's able, to the PG Institute, the great Booker T. Washington. We call him Honorable Booker T. Washington. So there you have it. Thank you for tuning in. We make a little dua and we say, oh Allah, help those who have COVID-19 and have died from separate their sins for their goodness and grant them Jannah, paradise. We say, oh Allah, those who have COVID-19 or the flu or are sick, we ask you, Lord, to lift the burden from them. And all of you that praise for those who will not get sick and those who are not sick but trying to help those who will get sick, we ask Allah to give you the barakats for your outstanding achievement. That's the soon your responsibility, and Allah will reward you. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in.
To stop conference recording, this session is no longer being recorded.